Hey, Swifties! Welcome to a brand new episode of Swiftie School, where together we walk Clownelia Street covering the latest news and Easter eggs from our fearless leader, Taylor Swift. I'm your host, Reagan Bailey, and it is enchanting to have you here. Now that we're out of the woods, let's get into today's episode.
It's another great day to be alive at the same time as Taylor Swift. Let me tell you, I've got a little peppity pep pep in my steppity step step because today we are talking all about TTPD. You guys know the drill before we get into today's podcast. This is just an expression of my thoughts and opinions. And while I would absolutely love, live, laugh, love to be associated with Taylor Swift or Taylor Nation, I am not until further notice. Let's get into the episode. Now. So much has happened since we have last connected. And so many of you guys were like, Reagan, TikTok, where is our Drop Everything Now episode? You guys, I was pop locking and dropping and doing my absolute best to just stay afloat this past weekend because holy cow, 31 songs, Access Hollywood, two different parties, Taylor Club nights. I mean, your girl was on an absolute bender in the best way possible. Now, I want to take it back to the beginning. Let's go back to when we were all just complaining about the little Post Malone $1.99 CD that came out, and we were just anxiously waiting for our cute little 16-song album to come out. Well, joke's on us, because we were in for the craziest ride. Now, I will say, taking it all the way back to the beginning, I thought that that $1.99 CD was quite possibly the biggest missed opportunity of Taylor Nation yet. I think it erred on the side of cash grab. I understand they were trying to build anticipation for the lead single of the album and the music video and all that jazz, but I just don't see what the purpose of a CD that has one song on it is. Do you guys, am I crazy? I think a lot of us in the broadcast channel over on my Instagram were in agreement over that. But all of that aside, I was able to move on from that very quickly once 2 hours after the album dropped, and it was 2 a.m., and Taylor blew all of our minds with not one, but two albums. Now, let's fast forward a teeny weeny bit before we dive fully into the album, because the music video, I think, is one of her best music videos yet. And I don't mean it in terms of, obviously, like, the entire thing start to finish is beautiful, but, like, the cinematography, the visuals, the editing, the storytelling, like I really do think the music video is a 13 out of 10, absolutely fantastic. And now listening to the album a few times through, more than a few times, you guys know what I mean. Listening to the album a few times, watching the music video, dissecting a lot of information, hearing the lyrics, hearing Taylor's thoughts on some of the songs, and where her head was kind of at, I really do feel like I have a greater understanding as to why Fortnite was chosen as the lead single. I felt like at first I was like, oh, she kind of just wants to do the song that has a feature on it because, you know, two artists, a greater push. You know, I thought that maybe she was like, oh, I'll draw in some people who are Post Malone fans. I really don't feel that way at all anymore. I feel like Fortnite, number one, is a seamless transition from the end of Midnights into this new era, because if you think back to what's the song, Hits Different, one of the final songs, or the final song, Midnights got so confusing because we had like 52 editions of Midnights, but Hits Different is one of the last songs on Midnights, and Hits Different ends by saying, or have they come to take me away, take me away, oh my love is a lie, you guys know the part, and then we pick up with Fortnite, the song one, track one on TTPD, where it says, I was supposed to be sent away, but they forgot to come and get me. kind of proud of myself. So I feel like that's number one, a seamless transition that she made from the Midnights era to the TS11 era. But more obviously, someone pointed this out, which is absolutely genius. I feel like I haven't seen many people talk about this, is that Midnights, we know, is a combination of songs that she wrote during 13 sleepless nights. And she really harped on the fact it was, you know, these songs that she wrote in the middle of the night during these 13 sleepless nights. And it was a collection of all those songs. Well, naturally, TS11 picks up with the 14th night, which is Fortnite. We know Fortnite means 2 weeks. It's genius. It's absolutely genius. I don't know why we didn't think of this before when we were getting the whole Fortnite clues and hints and everything like that. But that was just a little debrief. I feel like all chaos broke loose once the double album situation happened. You guys heard me in the broadcast channel if you're over there on Instagram. I was very, very stressed and I couldn't tell you guys why, because I was partnering on the Fortnite song over on YouTube Shorts for the Fortnite challenge. I was a part of that campaign and I couldn't tell you guys, obviously, but I had to deliver the video so like literally in the middle of the night, like after the song came out. And so I was so stressed because I was trying to listen to the album, enjoy it, film my reactions, edit them, post them, do my Fortnite challenge video, deliver that, get the sponsored post, you know, edits and all of that done and posted, whatever. So I really truly did not sleep more than like 3 hours for that like 36 hour period because it was absolute and pure chaos. And then on top of that, Taylor decided to just drop the second part of the album, which was bananas.com, as I'm sure many of you guys experienced as well. The most obvious thing is 31 songs is 13 backwards. I feel like we saw a lot of things that hinted towards mirroring throughout the end of the Eras Tour. And I want to bring you guys back to this because I feel like we've kind of forgot a lot about the like Eras Tour hints that we've gotten. At the end of the Eras Tour, before she leads into, of course, the next round of shows, she closed it out with a mashup of, Mirror Ball and Tim McGraw. And those are the two songs she sang on opening night of the tour in Glendale, Arizona. She opened up with Tim McGraw and Mirror Ball. So I feel like she did this whole like bookend situation. Not only could that have been foreshadowing to the flip of the 13 songs and the number 13, but I also feel like it's indicating some sort of like bookend of that version of the Eras Tour as we know it, because now we may see the introduction of TTPD. But I want to talk about that at the end because I have a lot of thoughts and I don't want to jump around too much. But in terms of the second half of the album, I feel like I'm really glad Taylor added this on. And I wonder if it was because she was getting feedback from maybe peers or from people she had shared the album with, because I do feel like there are two very distinct and different vibes and feel to part one of the album and part two of the album. Are we calling part two the anthology or the whole 31 song version the anthology? I'm not quite sure if we're just like calling it part one and part two. Let me know what you guys are calling it. But part two to me is a lot more piano, ballady, slower. And if you like faster upbeat things, I feel like part one might be better for you. But the overall album as a whole to me, I feel like the two words I keep going back to, there's two expressions I keep saying. I feel like this album is really inside thoughts. Like these are things, all the things she writes about in all of these songs are things that we've all definitely either experienced, thought about, crossed our mind, seen in a TV show, gasped at when another friend has told us something along these lines. But it's not necessarily something you would publicize, let alone like publish in a body of work for the whole world to see or hear. And personally, that's what I feel like Taylor's best at, is giving us such a deep, dark glimpse into her mind and kind of her emotions and experiences, but does it through the form of songs. And I always say this, but she does and says so much, but does so little at the same time. It's truly fascinating. I think that's one of the most fascinating things about Taylor's brand, is she's super like elusive and doesn't really engage publicly much with people or the media, but does it in her own way. And I think that's what makes her honestly one of the most successful artists of all time. But going back to sort of the vibe and the feel, these are some of the things that I wrote down. Really and truly, this is an emotional exploration. And I want to harp on that a little further because I've said it a few times this past weekend. But why I keep saying that is I think people are really hung up on the fact of like, is this a heartbreak album? Is this a breakup album? Is it about Maddie? Is it about Joe? Is it about Travis? Like really trying to define a lot of these feelings. And I say it's an emotional exploration because there's really a lot of meaning and interpretation that you could put behind a lot of this. But the reality is sometimes emotions are fluid, right? Like you could feel like you're over someone. You could feel like you've put something in the past. And then you pass someone on the street or see a red car drive by and you're instantly transported back to those emotions. So I feel like the whiplash that you kind of feel throughout listening to the album, or the hard punches that some of the lyrics make, are due to the fact that she was not fully in like the best mental space when writing this. And that's what makes this album not only so relatable and beautiful and perfect, but so interesting at the same time. So I wrote down it's this like word vomit of everything bubbling up and coming to the surface. And the only way for her to move on was this album. And I know that because she acknowledged that on the tour. She said this album felt like, more than any other album in her life, it was the most necessary and important to write, and she really needed it. I feel like personally, as depressing and horrible as this sounds, the Eras Tour, it kind of made her this like shell of the human and seemed really soul-sucking because she had to suppress a lot of that. And I'm glad that she had this outlet that was Torture Poets Department. I think it was imperative for her to be able to hopefully move forward into this next half of the Eras tour, where I hope she can really enjoy, like, as she said, you know, one of the lyrics I think is the most gut-wrenching is, "You rusted my sparkling summer." I keep going back to those lyrics because how sad, right? Like, it breaks my heart that this summer that was supposed to be the most, I mean, she'll never be able to get that summer back. It was the most monumental summer in her entire career. Some of the most groundbreaking moments that she'll ever have. I mean, barely any humans ever get to experience the things she got to experience during that tour. From the number of fans to the crowd sizes to the records breaking, all of it. And I think I'm hoping that now that this is out and it's all out there and she's really fleshed it out, that we're going to be able to see a whole new side of her on this tour. And that's why I feel like she will kind of switch up the tour to hopefully put that version of it to rest and make it a little new and fresh and interesting for her mentally and emotionally. When thinking of this album, one of the things that I really feel like came to mind is this is really an album for the fans, and specifically, I'm going to say this like with quotations, like her older fans, people who are maybe closer in age to her or older in age to her. And this is not a diss at any of my younger listeners. I know a lot of you guys are Gen Z girlies and below, and I'm absolutely positive that you'll still be able to enjoy this album. But I think whereas Folklore, you know, the storytelling in there can really be understood by anybody, I feel like this one, you do have to have a little bit more experience in life under your belt in order to really feel the depths of the words that she's saying. Not to say you're not going to enjoy it, but that's kind of my initial thought, is it's definitely not an album for children. Like, five-year-olds are not going to be bopping around the house to these songs. Maybe I can do it with a broken heart. But again, like, do you want a five-year-old talking about being depressed? Probably not. Speaking of this album, let's go ahead and talk about the songs itself. Now, I think I want to do a separate episode, like deep diving. We can kind of break up maybe the 31 songs and go chunk by chunk and kind of debrief and break them all down. And we could talk more about it over my Patreon, or if you guys want to drop like any Easter eggs or clues that you find in my form that I have linked in the description for the podcast. I just want to talk more generally for the sake of this episode while we kind of recap everything in my initial thoughts and first impressions. But the songs for me really tell a story start to finish. And I feel like almost every song on this album has parallels to her older songs or melodies, which is really interesting to me. I saw a comparison earlier today talking about Champagne Problems and how it seamlessly transitions into one of the songs on the album. I don't want to say it was Guilty as Sin, but speaking of Guilty as Sin, I feel like that's a perfect example. So Guilty as Sin to me, when I hear it, is really about how Taylor felt like during her current relationship, whether it was Joe or with Maddie or whoever, she felt guilty, like she was committing a sin, even though she had never touched hands on somebody. It was just that her mind was wandering to places, and people in her life were telling her that actions are the only thing that matter. And to me, how I interpret that is she was with Joe. She kind of knew the relationship was over. She was in that sort of denial phase, but she was starting to think about other people or someone else, perhaps Maddie Healy, and she felt guilty for that. And then Fresh Out of the Slammer is a great transition from Guilty as Sin, because the second that she is no longer a prisoner in her long-term relationship that was obviously toxic and not working out for her, she's fresh out of the slammer and she makes her first phone call to that person she felt guilty thinking about. So that's kind of an example of how I feel like the songs sort of are interwoven. But Daddy, I Love Him is a really interesting one to me, because I feel like, and again, we'll do a whole, you know, deep dive on other episodes, but I feel like the whole first, like 75% of the song, she's talking about Maddie Healy. And then the end, she kind of transitions to what I believe is her current love, so Travis. She does sort of this beautiful, I say whiplash, but maybe I need a better, like a prettier word for it, invisible string, if you will, throughout the entire album. I feel like that's a perfect way to say it. You know, kind of how she did those Apple Music playlists of the five stages of grief. I feel like she really displays that through the entire 31 songs. We see her bounce back and forth and ping pong between those sort of stages of grief. She might take one step forward into one and then two steps back and make it back into another, which is just what I think makes this album really, really, really interesting and unique from other albums. But again, if you're not like fully into Taylor Swift and going to listen to the entire thing start to finish, it might not appeal to you, or you might not walk away with that same feeling. So I understand how this album might be most attractive to her true and core fans, which at this point in her career, she can absolutely be putting out music that's really for her true and core fans, because she doesn't need the approval of the public anymore. You know what I mean? Now, the topic that everybody is really losing their marbles over online is Maddie Healy. And I have thoughts about this. I talked about this briefly over on Threads, but my thoughts when it comes to Maddie Healy is that this is not that surprising to me. And I say this, and maybe it'll sort of, you know, give you guys a light bulb moment if you're still shooketh to the core over Maddie Healy being included in this, is I feel like it's really, really embarrassing if you are in a relationship. And I'm not saying it's embarrassing for her. I'm just saying in general, because I've definitely been in denial on certain aspects of relationships that I've had before, where when you finally come to the realization that you're wrong, you almost so badly want to be right about something, or you want your next move to be the right one. And, you know, we often hear about the term rebounds, but I think in a rebound, not only are you trying to prove a point to yourself, but you're also wanting that feeling from the past to go away so badly that you're also really easily persuaded and fall head over heels a lot quicker. And I think one of the biggest problems or takeaways that you can make from a lot of these songs and songs that she's defined as denial songs from her discography is that Joe seemed to promise her a lot, but really didn't follow through on them. He sort of seemed to be like dangling a carrot in front of her face. And I feel like when it comes to that next relationship that she had, it wasn't someone who was super casual or not looking for much. It seemed like the deepest form of a situationship where she basically laid it all out there and was like, this is what I didn't have. This is what I'm walking away from. This is all the baggage that I've got. And then Maddie Healy was like, yeah, I can give you all of that and then some. Let's do it. And then doesn't follow through on it again. And then she falls even deeper into that sort of depression, sadness, anger, upset. And it's that story that's old as time, where when it doesn't work out with the one guy, the next one you go to, you're going to go for this bad guy, you know, the rebel. And 9 times out of 10, that doesn't work out for you either. And then you are finally at your rock bottom. And it's usually then that you've like the next person you land upon is someone that is a better fit for you, or the one. But it could have been the one. Anywho, I feel like Joe really got off easy with this one. How do you guys feel? I feel like he really woke up and was like, oh, not too bad. Not too shabby, if you ask me. All this to say, I think people are really hard hitting on trying to define which songs are about who. I saw a chart earlier that was like breaking down which songs are about which ex and all this jazz. And I just want to remind you, Taylor hates when we speculate on her relationships. And I've tried to be pretty mindful of that throughout the course of this podcast and just throughout my content in general, because I can only imagine like how horrific it would be to like turn on a podcast and hear someone dissecting my past mistakes and relationships and heartbreak and all of that. But I think for me, what I walk away from is just she had to get it out in order to move on. And there was a lot she had been holding in, which leads me to controversial Miss Kim Kardashian. Now, for my notes on this, I wrote LOL. I think this song is hilarious. And that's not me being a mean girl. I just think the puns and like the play on words that she did in this song are kind of funny. Now, the next thing I wrote is Taylor is forever a girl's girl. And my hot take is that they have already made up or are going to make up following this song. I think Kim is at a low-ish place in her life, you know, following her divorce. She's, you know, in a vulnerable place being a mother. I think the door is probably more open than it ever has been before for them to have an opportunity to make up. Do I think it's going to make them like best friends? Absolutely not. But, you know, Taylor's two very close friends, Lana Del Rey and Sabrina Carpenter, have both collaborated with Kim. I definitely don't think they have many degrees of separation between the two of them. You know, they're probably going to run in similar circles, just being the nature of how small the world of being a celebrity is. And I could see the olive branch being extended. We've seen Taylor do it in the past with Katy Perry. Is the beef or as deep with Katy Perry? Absolutely not. But I think there is opportunity for a massive moment for girlhood here. And there is a cult following for both of these people, both Kim Kardashian and Taylor Swift, whether you like it or not. In the same way we've seen Beyonce and Taylor Swift support each other this past year to, you know, I think the underlying reason for that is probably to squash a lot of the comparison that the media has created between them. I think that's why Beyonce, you know, made it to Taylor's premiere. Taylor made it to her premiere. They also really look up to each other. Do I think that this means like Taylor's going to do the next Skims campaign? No. But that would be crazy if Taylor was like, the cover of Torture Poets Department was actually Skims. That would be wild. Could you even imagine? Not going to lie, I do like my Skims underwear, but I know you guys are not going to like that. So I'm just going to shut my lips and move on. But Kim K has kids, and she is really, really, really great about not talking poorly about Kanye, because at the end of the day, that is her children's father. And I think she has a great opportunity to do the same about Taylor, knowing that her kids listen to Taylor Swift. Kim has been open about the fact she listens and likes Taylor Swift's music. So there's an opportunity there for Kim to be the bigger person, and I would absolutely love to see that happen. Can you imagine? This is all I'm going to say about Kim K, and then I'm going to move on. Could you imagine a moment, a photo op of Kim K and Taylor Swift on the Met Gala red carpet? It would be groundbreaking. Possibly as earth and website internet shattering as the drop of Reputation Taylor's version. But don't fear, we will not go to Reputation just yet. Now, I want to know your guys' thoughts below in regards to the Eras Tour. I know we've talked about the white microphone from time to time, how Taylor rehearses with the black microphone, but we've seen pictures of this white microphone that she hasn't used yet. I think the most interesting piece of evidence I would like to enter into the Tortured Poets Department is that one of her guitarists or band members posted on Twitter, you know, "So glad you guys are liking the new album. Just wait until you hear the live versions." Excuse me? The live versions? My thoughts there is, if it was going to be some sort of like long pong studio session situation, her band typically isn't included in that. So it only leads to one conclusion. Her band is practicing for the live versions of Tortured Poets Department. Mic drop moment, because I think there are going to be some happy Swifties that are going to be attending. I'm going on August 17th, and I cannot wait. It is in London. It is her second round of London shows for the summer. Her final round, actually, of London shows for the summer. So you guys know to look forward to that, because I will absolutely have boots on the ground and be reporting every last waking moment of it. Now, if you're new to the podcast, I know we have some new listeners and new faces around town. I like to end every episode with what I like to call Swiftie Submissions. And this is where you can go to that link that I mentioned earlier. If you ever can't find it, you can find it over on my Swiftie School podcast Instagram page at Swiftie School Podcast. There is going to be the form linked in the bio. You could submit anything to the form. You could tell me if you have a theory, an Easter egg, someone you want to submit to the podcast as a guest, or if you just have something to say, want to drop me a note, whatever it might be. But today we've got two, and I have one from Millie. And Millie said, "Do you think 'Thank You, Amy' is a hint towards Reputation?" I know I just said I wouldn't talk about Reputation, so I'll keep it brief. But I definitely think if we are loving 'Thank You, Amy,' can you imagine the absolute fire that will be the vault tracks from Reputation? I don't think Thank You, Amy is like a hint towards Reputation. I'm not even entirely sure what track number Thank You, Amy is on TTPD. I would be curious to know. I'm too lazy to go look right now, but I think it's giving us a glimpse into some of the absolute bangers that we're going to be getting when Rep TV actually comes out. Now, Avery said in I Can Do It With a Broken Heart, one of my favorite songs, it says, "I'm so depressed I act like it's my birthday. And on her birthday, or for her, quote, birthday present, she released You're Losing Me, a breakup song with Joe. In I Can Do It With a Broken Heart, do you think she's referring to putting breakup songs on her album and writing songs that people want to release every day?" This is really interesting, Avery. I have not thought about this at all. And if you're a little confused, last year for Taylor's birthday in 2023, she released You're Losing Me. You're losing me. And we know at the pop-up here in Los Angeles for Tortured Poets Department, we saw a calendar that said December 13th, and it said Friday, December 13th. So we know it's referring to this year, 2024, her birthday this year, because this year her birthday falls on a Friday, and last year it didn't. So I'm curious if this ties into your theory at all. I don't know. I'm going to have to stew a little deeper on that. If anybody has any thoughts, if there's any sort of correlation between I Can Do It With a Broken Heart and her birthday and You're Losing Me coming out last year, definitely drop me a note, because you have my mind stewing, writing songs that people want her to release every day. This is a good call out, Avery. And if you guys have any call outs similar to this, definitely send them my way so we could talk about them a little deeper. Now, I, amongst all of the chaos, on last Friday, hosted my monthly clown call, and this is with my Patreon. So if you're like, "What's Patreon? I have no idea what that is." You can go to Patreon, patreon.com/Swiftie School. And I have a basically membership over there. Think of it as like a much cooler version of a Facebook group. And we do this thing called clown calls for the senior members. There's three different tiers. You can choose to join as a sophomore, junior, or senior. And the senior members get to participate in my monthly clown call. We hop on this clown call. It's so freaking fun, you guys. There are people that are 9 years old. There are people that are 69 years old. It does not matter how old you are. Everybody is welcome. And there are moms that have their daughters. There was literally a woman with her newborn baby on her chest 2 calls ago. So, so fun and adorable. So this last call was perfectly timed, obviously, naturally, with the Georgia Poets Department. And we got to debrief following the music video coming out. And we just talked about all the theories, our initial thoughts. And there were a lot of new members that joined since that call. And I want to shout some of them out today because that is a part of the benefits of joining as a member. So without further ado, let's welcome some of the newest members of the Patreon. And don't worry if you don't hear your name. I have so many more shout outs to make on the upcoming episodes. So make sure to stay tuned for those. Now, some of our newest members include Miss Macy, Lindsay A, Angie, Summer, Chantel, Andrea, Michelle, Anastasia, Cami, Stephanie, Christelle, Maddie, Amber, Addison, Laura, Lala, Liz, and Adele. Now, not to fear, I have so much more coverage coming on Georgia Poets Department. And if you just found the podcast or you're new to the whole Swiftverse and need a little refresher, make sure you head back to some of my earlier episodes. Episode 1 happens to be actually my most popular episode to date. And it breaks down why Taylor is actually doing all the re-records, which would be a perfect time to dig deep into that because I have a feeling the next thing we're going to get from her is a re-record, not to jump ahead. Don't kill me. And if you're not over on Spotify and not able to see the video version, you can always hop over to YouTube. I upload all of these over on YouTube as well. And you can see my cute little pink background and my little sparkly headphones. And you can watch my face if that's of interest to you. Now, I have just had truly, I would be remiss if I didn't say this has been a whirlwind, but also the most fun 5 days I have had in a very, very, very long time. I am so incredibly grateful that you guys choose to spend your time here with me and support all of my content. Make sure you check me out over on Instagram if you haven't already and you're just finding the podcast at Reagan Bailey. And I think that's it for today. I love you guys. This has been so fun. I love being tortured. Only with you though. Yeah. Stick around and I will see you on the next one. Bye!
I know all too well how busy life can be, and I am so grateful that you chose to stay. Now just know, this is me trying, and I would greatly appreciate if you took a minute to leave a review or maybe share this episode with a fellow Swiftie. Make sure you join my broadcast channel on Instagram for more Swiftivities, and long story short, this love is real, and I'm beyond grateful for your support. See you next time!